It's been announced that online taxi booking app Uber will launch next week. Uber is a taxi booking app for mobile phones. It allows customers to locate the nearest taxi using GPS before dispatching it. The firm has posted an online invitation to Northern Ireland's taxi drivers to attend an information session. The company says drivers have the chance to be their own boss. It's offering a once-in-a-lifetime incentive. But what does it mean for black taxi and private hire taxis already operating in the city? The commentator Andy McVeigh with us this morning. The taxi driver's been a regular Nolan for about a decade now. Robert with us this morning. Game changer this, Robert. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen. Truthfully, the Environment Minister and the Environment Committee, in my opinion, in Belfast, Uber is going to affect, I believe, the two big private hire firms more than the public hire taxi drivers. Now, an operator's license. All of two big companies, because no, you don't like me naming them over the air, they work on their operator's license. And the point I would be making is...
This is Value Cabs and Funicab you're talking about, presumably.
Correct. What you can't do, you can't work under two operators' licenses, right? So it doesn't affect public hire taxi drivers because public hire taxi drivers have their own operators' license.
Let's get down to the main issue. Is this good news or not for customers in Belfast?
Personally speaking, in the honest opinion, the Environment Minister, Mark Durgan, and the committee shouldn't let Uber in here.
Well, it's more choice for customers, isn't it? It's cheaper for customers, is it not?
No. But
same price? Dearer? What is it?
Well, you see, the problem with what the Environment Minister and the Environment Committee hasn't addressed, the black taxis are regulated. By, when you pay as your taxi, then you have to go and get a meter test done. Private hire taxis is unregulated. Now, there was a driver no later than 2 days ago.
The private hire taxis are not unregulated. There's lots of regulation around private hire taxis.
No, excuse me, Stephen. Excuse me. Look, private hire taxis, their meters are unregulated. By the DOE have no power over private hire taxis what to charge. They have power only over public hire taxi drivers.
This has got nothing to do with Uber.
Well, the point, Uber will come in here and make things far worse than they are. Because the Environment Minister, why are we regulated and the rest of the taxis aren't regulated? Ask that question. Now
here's a call on this already. Roland, good morning.
Hello, Stephen.
Robert's got up late
I've
this
used
morning.
The Uber taxis quite a bit in London, and I find them very, very good. They're very, very efficient. They're economically, they're friendly as well too, and environmentally friendly because a lot of the taxi drivers use the hybrid cars, you know. So, and they're very much, they're always on time. And you just more or less press your app if you're coming out of a cinema and the taxi's there in 2 minutes, you know. So that's just fantastic, you know.
Yeah, but do you know who you're getting?
What? Well, you're getting a registered taxi driver, yes.
You see,
hello?
If it's with someone like Value Cabs or someone like Funicab or someone like that, then at least you know that that driver, that local driver, has a connection with a major firm in Northern Ireland. So if something went wrong, you would be able to ring Funicab, Value Cab, whoever, and say, look, this went wrong, and they will know exactly who the driver is. Who is policing Uber?
Well, so they're not in here.
Of course,
they're all controlled by Uber, right? The taxi drivers that they bring in, right? And they all have to be governmentally controlled. They all have to be registered taxi drivers.
Go on, Andrea.
Not only that, when it's on an app, so it's all done through an app. When you're Uber driver, so you request a driver and it'll say one's coming, it'll come up and tell you the car registration number and his name. So that's on record. And then when you finish the journey, you get an email saying you had such and such as the driver. And this is the thing that I find about Uber, one of the many things which is really great about it, that you rate your driver. So you give him number of stars out of five. Your driver also rates you, and you can request your Uber rating. So that means that...
I don't care what a taxi driver rates me. I want to get in and get out again. Why do I care what a taxi driver rates me?
But then, because then it depends whether taxi drivers might pick you up or not. If you have a habit as a customer of being abusive or throwing up in the back of the car or something, the taxi driver doesn't necessarily need to come and pick you up, the Uber driver. So I think it means that everybody is responsible and respectful in that car as a passenger and as a driver. I can totally understand the problems. And in actual fact, I think Belfast is probably too small for Uber. It just seems crazy. It usually operates in big cities like London, Singapore, San Francisco, New York, places like that. But the other thing is that you don't need cash to use an Uber. It's all done through, you register your credit or debit card in advance, and that's all done through the app. As a woman in London, I feel it's safer for me to get an Uber because I don't need money for it, and it's cheaper. So it means living in London, I get a lot more Ubers than I ever did black cabs. I never got like a London taxi because they were too expensive. Now I can go out and I can get Ubers home. And that's how people refer to them. They don't call them taxis anymore. Here in London, we just call them Ubers.
030 30 80 55 55. Go ahead, Ronan.
I would totally agree with that. I mean, I've known of Uber giving people VIP rides, you know, for the same cost, you know, because they're all about improving their service and good customer relations.
So let's just go through the basics as to how this actually works. So basically, you've got an app on your phone. You hit your phone, your mobile phone. It can tell the taxi where you are, the GPS. So the nearest taxi comes to you. You don't give them cash because you've downloaded your credit card details on your mobile phone.
That's right.
Bob's your uncle.
And on your app, you get the car registration number of the taxi driver that's coming to collect you, and you'll know when he'll be there. It'll say 2 minutes or whatever he'll be there.
Yeah. There's more to this. This is quite a big story, actually. See, it's front page of the Belfast Telegraph this morning as well. But the big story here is there no allegiance? Is there no loyalty to local firms, Andrew McVeigh, the likes of Phone-A-Cab, the likes of Value Cabs, which is giving many, many drivers employment? Is there no loyalty to those major firms and all the drivers that come with them?
Yes, I think there is loyalty. And I think people in Northern Ireland are very loyal and people in Belfast are loyal. And there will be people who use taxi firms every single week and they'll know the driver. I know tons of people who go out and they'll be going home, whether to, you know, Newton Abbey or anywhere, and they're going home and they have local taxis and they know the name. So they'll say, you know, pick me up at 1 o'clock outside this bar and it'll be such and such, the driver turns up, and they always get that driver home. So I think there is a huge amount of loyalty. I'm a big Uber fan for lots of the reasons that I mentioned, but I think Belfast is too small for it and I don't think there's any room. As I said, you know, these are big cities it usually operates. And the other thing about Uber is, as well as you don't need cash and it's cheaper and you rate the driver and the driver rates you, another thing is that using the same app, you can get a taxi anywhere that Uber operates. So we were in Atlanta, Georgia about a month ago on holiday. We went into the app, we got taxis all over Atlanta using the app. We didn't need cash. It all came off our credit card details at the end of the month. You know, I could go to Singapore tomorrow and use the app to get an Uber. So that's another way. It's international.
It sounds like Uber Belfast is the same as Uber Dublin and not Uber London. In other words, in Dublin and Belfast, they have to be registered taxis. In London, anyone can sign up after appropriate registration and check to be an Uber driver. So there are differences. We need to look into what the differences are and what registration means and what the checks and balances are if you're getting into one of these taxis. Another taxi driver, Ken Kelly. Morning to you, Ken. Right, Ken's dropped off. Peter Johnson. Good morning, Peter.
Stephen, good morning, yes.
My boss is called Peter Johnson. I near wet myself there.
I know that, just to keep you on your toes. I use Uber a lot whenever I use...
Any chance
Uber
of a pay rise, Peter?
Yeah, no problem.
Any chance of a bonus based on last year's performance?
You've enough.
You do sound like him. Anyway, carry on.
Whenever it first came out, I used Uber all the time, and I found that all they used was foreign nationals, and they didn't speak any English, they didn't know where they were going, they follow sat-nav blindly, don't take into account roadworks or road changes, they get lost, they go round and round in circles. The last one I got, he picked us up outside a meeting in the car park, the sat-nav said turn right. He was still in the car park, and he kept turning right round and round in circles around the car park, and we had to tell him where to go. And I think also the Uber, it's killing the old traditional black cabbie. Unfortunately, the chat, they know where they're going. They tell you a bit of history as you drive about. The Ubers are just really robots. I find that I've stopped using them. I've gone back to black cabs.
I wonder, is this the death knell to black cabs, actually? Because the whole strength of black cabs, of course, is that you can hail them from the street. But you're effectively doing that with Uber when you press a button on your phone and the nearest taxi comes close to you. There's going to be taxi wars in Northern Ireland with one industry within the taxi industry, with one component of the industry fighting against the other, hopefully metaphorically speaking, fighting, by the way. William McCausland from Phone a Cab with us this morning. This is a big threat to your business, William.
Well, obviously, it's a very big threat to my business. I certainly don't see it as being this wonderful thing that some people see it as, but it certainly, if you weren't to take this threat seriously, you would be very naive. Obviously, you would know a fair bit about their product from other people that are competing against them all over the UK, and obviously they're a large organisation across the world.
How big a threat is this to Phone a Cab?
Well, it's a very serious threat, but I certainly think that Phone a Cab are well prepared for it. I mean, obviously people are talking about GPS location. There isn't one thing that Uber actually offer that our own app, which we have been using for a considerable time already, that doesn't already offer. So, I mean, it's not that they're bringing anything new to the market.
So
there's an awful lot of things that they don't bring to the market.
So what do you offer that Uber doesn't?
Oh, a massive amount of stuff. I mean, we offer advanced bookings. We offer, a human being that you can speak to. I'll give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, there was a customer of ours going to Aldergrove Airport, and they left their bag in the car with their passports. Our cab had drove off. He was probably down about Tampa Patrick or somewhere on the motorway. Customer rang the office. We were able to locate the driver. Driver took the bag back. Person got reunited with their bag, their passport, got in flight. If that had been an Uber, what would have happened? You'd have tried to contact somebody in San Francisco. I mean, it just don't. There is no human being behind this. This is an app that connects you to your driver when you want a cab at that moment. There is nothing else behind the scene. There's nothing there. There's no infrastructure whatsoever. You know, lost property. I mean, lost property is a massive. We nearly have a full-time employee looking after lost property. Our Phone a Cab do approximately 50,000, taxi jobs a week. So you can imagine the amount of varied stuff that's left behind in those cabs. And we try to reunite everybody with them.
Will you be allowing your drivers to also register with Uber?
Oh, absolutely not. Legally,
not?
They're not allowed to. With the operator's license in Northern Ireland, you can only work for one operator, which is a good thing. But I certainly wouldn't let a driver of mine work for Uber, even if the law allowed them to. You're not going to let someone work for them to build that business against you. That would be very naive. And
do you think Uber should be allowed in Northern Ireland at all?
Well, I don't think it's for the benefit of Northern Ireland, certainly not. I mean, every driver that works for Phone a Cab pays a depot rent to Phone a Cab of anywhere between it's usually about £100 plus VAT.
And you make
Uber
a big bucks out of that?
Uber don't get any. Uber put their money through Holland and don't pay any VAT on it whatsoever. So in other words, all that revenue that goes through, all the employment. I mean, Uber will not have any staff employed, maybe one manager in Belfast. Phone a Cab of about 70 employees, and if you take in our car end of the market, we have 100 employees working for us.
But from a driver's point of view, William, you pay Uber based on a percentage of the work you're getting. If you're working for you, you pay your weekly depot rent, whether you're getting one job or 100 jobs. So if you've had a tough week, you're paying you the same revenue. If you work for Uber, then it's a slice of your profits, so therefore you're probably doing slightly better on a bad week.
Yeah, but I think you'd be doing a lot worse in a good week. I mean, our drivers know what to lift. and certainly 25% would be more than what they would pay to me whenever I would say it would be an average week even.
We have we've heard over recent days just how ferocious it can get with taxi drivers, you know, fighting for space, fighting for parking space in Northern Ireland. Do you see this getting nasty in any way, William, when you've got all different types of taxi firms, taxi drivers fighting for business now? I wonder how the Uber drivers will be received in Belfast, for example.
Really, Stephen, I don't see it being what, you know, it is in London. London's a very transient and cosmopolitan city. Belfast has a certain amount of tourism, yes, but it's an awful lot of traditional local people who value, you know, their local provider, you know, they value someone with the local knowledge. And I really don't think there's going to be this massive influx of Uber drivers that you've seen in other cities. The only thing is, I would have to say...
Well, you've described it as a big threat, so you can't have it both ways. Will you be reducing your fares in order to compete, be as cheap as Uber?
I certainly won't be reducing my fares. At the end of the day, you have to value your driver and look after your driver. If Uber come in and, you know, drastically reduce the fares, they won't get drivers, because drivers won't want to work. I mean, drivers need a certain amount to make a living, and we have a very fine balance between what a driver needs to make a living wage and doing his job and what we see as being a competitive fare for the customer, and that is exactly where our fares are.
So you won't be reducing your fares?
No, we won't be. I mean, at the end of the day, if Uber come in with reduced fares, they won't get any drivers, because drivers won't want to work for them. I mean, phone a cab is a very busy company as it is.
And do you think you will have to reduce the number of drivers you have?
Absolutely not. I would say we need to increase the number of drivers a minute. I mean, the demand that phone a cab is seeing is, you know, very, very strong. So, I mean, we could probably put more drivers under our fleet because of the amount of business we already have.
Have a listen to Jerry in Lisburn. Morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Stephen, I'm absolutely delighted that Uber are coming, because what it'll do, it'll give the taxi driver his own business rather than paying large sums of money every week to a company, to, as you said, whether they make money or not. So I'm delighted for the taxi drivers.
Well, are you a taxi driver yourself?
No, I'm not. I work in an office, no, but I know quite a lot of taxi drivers, Stephen, and they tell me the amount of money that they pay before they make a penny for themselves. So this Uber thing will give them control, it basically give them their own company.
Well, Uber will be taking 25% off them for every journey they do.
Yes, but I tell you, from what I can hear, it's not as bad as what they're paying every week to these large companies. So,
William McCausland, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I would disagree. I mean, 25%, if a driver is working and doing a proper week, would be certainly more than what they're paying at the moment.
What type of money does a driver lift in a typical week?
I mean, Stephen, you couldn't really estimate that. I mean, it would vary. I mean, different shifts, different things. So, I mean, you need to speak to the driver on that. I mean, something that we wouldn't, you know, we don't see what the driver earns, but I know that drivers are out working. Some will work a lot harder than others. So they will know that they will know the number and they'll work it out. And that's why I don't think, you know, whenever they do their homework and find out that, you know, they come in and they come in at lower rates. Like in London, they started at 10%, you know, but once, you know, the way Uber works is, they come into a market and they try to control the market. They try to, you know, they offer a lot of incentives, a lot of, you know, freebies and incentives to get a large slice of the market. Once they get control of the market, they start to really, really put the squeeze on it. And they start to increase the driver's rates that they charge.
Of course you can, Jerry. Go ahead.
That's a load of rubbish, because these big taxi companies knows exactly where these drivers are and what jobs they get. So that's a load of nonsense. They know exactly what the drivers are earning.
Here's Peter in Belfast. Morning, Peter.
I'm a taxi driver in Belfast. William probably knows that being a license holder, what he needs to have, like toilet facilities, maybe refreshing rooms, probably a liability insurance, all kinds of other things. I'm wondering, will Uber have to do it? Also, phone a cab and find a cab have a straight thing about your insurance, your tax, your car is legitimate, your PSCs. There's all kinds of checks. If it goes up with your net ballot, you won't be working.
Well, Uber will have to comply with the law like everybody else, won't they?
But the point I'm making, Stephen, is if you go to the interview today and you say, we're starting next week, you produce insurance, you could go and get insurance cover note to do you for a week. One day Uber say, there's my details, there's my license. And they'll go, thank you very much. Who's going to check that you haven't cancelled the insurance? You haven't done this? Who's going to check if your PSV has run out and your PSV license? So there's other things there. And at the end of the day, it's all about choice. If the companies, the two big companies, say themselves, we're providing the service, the work will stay there. And also understand, majority of work in Belfast is local, small, £4, £5, £6 jobs. So are you going to want off 25%? I don't think it'll affect us. There's a lot of people will be on this morning, not my taxi driver. See, as far as I'm concerned, bring them on. Okay, thank you.
Ken Kelly. Morning, Ken.
Morning, Stephen.
Your taxi driver.
I attended the presentation last night with Uber.
You what?
I attended the presentation at the hotel last night.
Right, but what did they say?
Well, part of which I already knew, substantially, what the benefits for the driver were. Now, for example, I'm a 62-year-old man. Four young fellas going out into any part of Belfast, I'm on my own. Uber are saying, you're going to take those four guys in the future, but no matter what happens, we've got their credit card, and you've been impaired, are being paid. So the safety aspect for me was colossal. I'm not carrying cash, so there's nothing to rob. As regards the percentage, we can kick that percentage around a long time. But the fact remains that, for example, you mentioned their name, so I'll mention them as well. The value cab weren't here in the last a decade ago. I'm 37 years taxiing, and there, 20 of those years, 25 of those years, there was no value. Value came and wiped out the local depots, along with phone a cab, and control 1,200 cars.
Well, that's competition.
Absolutely.
That's the open market.
There's a new kid on the block. There's a new kid on the block. Now, one of the things will be, if you're over 45 to 60, I reckon, the chances of you having an order in your taxi aren't high, unless you're a businessman or so forth. International travellers coming to hotels where certain companies don't allow any other taxi company into will bypass the concierge and the office and just go onto their app and a taxi. Everybody will have a fair crack of the whip.
Let me let William McCausland speak to you.
Right. Well, as far as paying with your credit card to the app, it's something that is available in our app. It's something that we have determined. The process actually is probably going to go live this week. It's just that we were doing some work in behind the scenes. So as far as tourists coming, tourists will have the choice. But normally when you go to another city, I find if you go to a hotel, you ask the concierge. The concierge would use a certain provider because they're happy with the service and know that provider. So I still think that they will obviously get some of the tourist trade. But it's very true that a lot of people in certain places will not have the app on a smartphone, won't have a smartphone a lot. I mean, a lot of our customers are customers we've had for a long, long time. You know, elderly people that go to the hairdressers, go to the hospital, go to, you know, chiropodists, things like that. I mean, those customers are certainly not going to be using a smartphone app. I mean, we provide everything that Uber provides and an awful lot more. You know, there is nothing that they've come to offer that we don't already provide. Therefore,
William, just the one fundamental difference between the credit card that you do is it's at the end of the journey. The customer has to have the credit card registered and the money is already in the pot before the passenger gets in the car.
That's exactly the same as it works in our app.
Registered
in the R app as well.
You will have an advantage over Uber because you will also do cash and card. Uber are only going to do card only.
I know. All I'm saying is, if you as a taxi driver think Uber are here for your benefit, do your homework. Honestly, do your homework.
Okay,
where they have been in San Francisco.
Now, William, that comment is a bit off. There is no taxi company is there for the benefit of the driver. Contrary to what you're saying and what people might think. Let's be realistic here. £140 a week to work for a major company. And listen, your car's too old at 4 years old. Those days are coming to an end.
Well, you're welcome to your opinion. All I know is I have drivers who worked for me, you know, from the 1970s that are still there. I mean,
absolutely.
That have worked for me. You know, we offer a good service. We offer a service that's value for money for our customers.
And yet, do you concede?
Drivers.
Do you concede, William McCausland, that this is? Do you concede, William, that this is the biggest threat to your business so far ever?
No, certainly not. We've worked from 1962 right through all the troubles and strife in Northern Ireland. I think that was the biggest threat to us. This is certainly a threat, but I wouldn't say it's the biggest threat we've ever had.
Here's Del. Morning, Del.
Certainly one that I'm ready for. I'm prepared for. I'm not naive enough to think that it isn't a serious threat, but I think my customers already know. You know, Phonacab provide an extremely good service.
Go ahead, Del.
A full facility.
I want to ask a question to the guy from Phonacab there. How do I get a taxi at 1:30 in the morning from your company?
On a Saturday night?
Friday night, Saturday night, Thursday night.
I've no real problem on a Friday. Saturday night's virtually very nearly impossible. Certainly try it, but you'll not get one either.
But,
I mean,
you're saying about value for money. It's not value for money, mate. I have to negotiate 20 quid first on the pavement side for your taxi.
If I understand your problem, you need... Stormont are the root of that problem when the licensing laws they have, that they expect all the taxis in Belfast to deliver everybody out, and then at 1:00 in the morning, they want everybody to want to go home. And 1:30 is exactly what you said. There should be staggered hours where people are going home from 12 o'clock, 2:00,
well,
and even 4:00 in the morning.
I can't even, but you're telling about the competition. I can't just phone up and get a taxi. If Uber comes along, I can probably just have somebody come and pick me up.
Do you honestly think you're going to get a taxi? Hold on a second.
You have your staff going, nah, no, hold me up, sorry, hang up the phone on you. Or you call a taxi that doesn't pay up at 1 in the morning, or actually see people sitting negotiating their money in their hands.
William McCausland, what he's essentially saying is that at the really busy times, in other words, 1:30 on a Saturday night, what the conventional taxi drivers are doing is that they're upping the ante in terms of fare. They are pulling over, but they're basically saying, look, you know, for the normal fare, 10 quid. If you want me to take you, it's 20 or 30 quid.
You know,
is that not illegal, William? And
no,
two,
well,
do you concede that's happening?
It's happening with drivers out of all their debt. It's happening with, you know, some drivers that only work on the street. And our drivers, we have rules and regulations in that they're only allowed to work for us. Uber do work surge pricing. Uber have put the prices as far as 2.9 off a multiplier on in other cities when the demand is high.
I've seen Belfast at night time. You don't phone a taxi. You basically go and negotiate with some taxi driver by the side of the street and offer them cash money and go, how much will it be? And they go, nah, mate, sorry. Oh, well, 15, 20 quid. I get on. Jump in the back.
It's only on a Saturday night.
And I understand, like, taxi drivers saying that they're maybe waiting on a booking and they're going, I've been waiting for 5 minutes. I'm fed up. I'll take a cash payment here for 20 quid in my pocket. Sure, I understand that that's maybe frustrating for taxi drivers. It's frustrating for it's a complete
it's a very
failure on behalf of these companies to operate in the
Well, let's let William
economy.
Respond.
I
to
understand
this.
That there's a problem with the licensing laws. Definitely, they need to be staggered because we have everyone competing for resources.
I think we need to let William respond.
But there's like a complete dead
zone. Hold on, Del. We need to let William respond.
Through to like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Right. The problem is that Uber are only going to have a certain supply of drivers. They'll have obviously much less supply of drivers than traditional companies will have already, so they don't have these drivers. If you hit the Uber app to try and get a car at 1:30 in the morning, they won't have any cars. It's as simple as that. They won't magically get these cars all day up here in Belfast. You know, they're only going to have a finite supply of vehicles, so therefore they're not going to fix the problem between 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock. I tell you what'll actually work even against them.
Well, we don't
know
how many people are going to sign up, do we? We don't know how many of your drivers are going
to
migrate to
this.
Uber.
You know, as he says, people normally just pick them off the street. Why would any Uber driver want to pick up a fare from Uber, which is going to be 25% commission, when he can drive down to City Hall or drive down to High Street and pick up someone when there's a million people there? And take them and not get charged any commission. So the Uber drivers are actually going to disappear when they're most needed.
Maybe this is good news, William McCausland, for your taxi drivers, because maybe you're going to have to reduce how much you charge them weekly depot rent in order to keep them.
Well, as I said before, I think it's a fine balance between what is needed to provide the service, and I think I have my rates fairly close to where they need to be. But obviously,
will you consider reducing your rates in order to keep your drivers?
I'm not going to say what I consider. Obviously, I'm looking at how the market is moving, and Phone a Cab have always been one of the first people to react. We've always been very innovative. You know, first people with most